Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge All Stars Wrap Up Podcast for episode 8 and the finale of Match Me If You Can. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie. Allie, how are you?
You're Jinx. Everything you say is wrong. Didn't you tell me this would be the last episode of the finale? Did I invent that?
Well, I thought we said it was 9 episodes, so we were debating if the reunion was the 9th or a two-part final. I don't know. I thought I jinxed Kellyanne, though, so I mean, I had a lot of jinxes going around.
I was blissfully enjoying this, and we'll get to it. I still enjoyed it. And then they were like, next week? I was like, what next week? What is this next week nonsense?
Yeah, I mean, lots of, because especially there, I thought they said there's only 5 stages, but it seems like there's definitely more than 5, unless they just missed TJ. But yeah, we got through 4 of them pretty quickly. Very jam-packed.
It's so funny because, like, this has been, I mean, we waxed poetically last week for 15 minutes at the top, but, like, I just can't get over how this season feels because, like, the season is over. We did a draft for next season with Scally and Matt, which will be available whenever. And I'm such a good plugger. And
well, we honestly have no idea, so.
But we're still here. Like, what are we doing here? I enjoyed it, but I feel like this is now we won't even have Match Me If You Can next week. It is like crawl to the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the timing of it never fully made sense. I don't know why they wouldn't have this be a standalone or maybe fully run simultaneous. I don't know, but we're here. We have challenge content. It was funny. I messaged you. I was listening to one of our old podcasts, and this is how different times were. I was discussing how depressed I was that we're about to go into a challenge off season, and now if you look at current days, it's like, oh my god, we're finally at the finale 25 weeks later. It shows the difference shorter season can make.
I mean, no knock to 2014 Brian, but you have much more of a life now too.
That's true.
Oh, but yeah, I love that you went back. You wouldn't even tell me. Remind me at the end of the episode to, you did a great teaser for Brian's picks, Brian's challenge corner. I defended you adamantly about your multiple, you know, what's funny, actually, I went back myself and I listened to our preview podcast with Rob for this season. And by listen to it, I meant I made it 15 minutes before I cringed so hard at myself, I had to turn
it
off.
It's horrible. I can't stand it. Especially, you think listening to, like, you know, 6 months ago is bad. Listen to 7 years ago, but it's, I want to, like, rip my ears out.
Well, we're going to do that. But then you discussed yourself as a prolific One Tree Hill, Yankees, and now the Challenge tweeter. And I was like, how funny is it that we discussed this, you know, a year ago at the beginning of the season?
Yeah,
and I just had
circle
to defend your honor to the hater Matt Liguori.
Yes. Although, yeah, because when you posed the question to me, I didn't understand the full context of the conversation. That's when I tweeted out. Just to add a little more, you know, for my Twitter, I think my Twitter brand is different than my life brand. So my Twitter brand is obviously Challenge in reality TV. My life brand is more Yankees.
7 years ago, we listened to this podcast and cringe that you talked about your Twitter brand.
And I say brand very much ironically. I hope that is being coming across very clearly.
Well, let's talk about Darrell's brand, because we get a little, like, I think the montage at the top of this final episode for All Stars is very, here's a pitch where we're all going to believe this counts so much that Brian and Allie are going to feel like shit about saying it doesn't count for the last 2 weeks.
I know. You got people cheering to their first final. Darrell, I haven't been here in 14 years, but I'm 4 for 4. And yeah, I'm thinking, well, you know, you're still not really here. You're like a minor league here, but still, you know, you're here.
I feel like I'm going to stop being a hater, but for the first time in this instance, because you know what? We speculated what's this final going to look like. And obviously it's not as treacherous as like ice picking up a mountain, but it's pretty damn physical.
It is. And honestly, this is much better. It's much more visually appealing. You don't ever get too stale of like one team working together, one checkpoint together, one activity together. Like, this was a very, like, it was, like you said, very physical. It wasn't easy by any stretch. And it seems like it's going to get maybe even harder next week in day 2. But I mean, at least day 1, it flowed very well.
What an evolution on the math puzzle. Well, I mean, we'll talk about this more, but like, no, just flimsy equations. No running for running's sake. You know what I mean? Like, I almost like don't need to see them running 15 miles and like dying, you know, like people struggled plenty, but they also succeeded. And it was, I thought, I agree with you. So fun to watch, such a return to sort of classic challenge. We've seen this mechanism before where they run with different pairs. It adds a new layer of strategy. I'm excited to discuss all this. I admittedly haven't thought it all through for a change, but like you can get hosed by the wrong partner at the wrong checkpoint. And that's really fun. And TJ gave them most of the information up front, and we're working with knowledge.
Yeah, very, very a lot of information. It's great. But I think, but again, I still think he didn't fully explain it, because at least based off the teaser for next week, is maybe I, again, maybe I heard it wrong, but I thought he said there's five parts. At the end of stage one, even this one, he kind of didn't fully explain. I'm surprised they didn't cut to a voiceover, because I didn't really understand it. I thought he said at the end of checkpoint two,
whoever's last
is eliminated. But I guess it's when you get to checkpoint two, you're eliminated, and you accumulate 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 points along the way through five stages, and whoever's most points at the end wins. But apparently there's an individual stage next week, and there's a couple more things, so maybe they just decided to add stuff. I don't know. But at least we got a good amount of information.
It doesn't bother me. Like, let me start again. I can't even say something positive. I have to say it doesn't bother me. I have to put it in a negative way. I like that there's going to be some sort of individual stage, because there's a little bit of like, is it fair if you just get like the lame duck on the eating challenge? I mean, that became running anyway, you know? So like, I like the hybrid. I mean, we'll see, you know, I reserve my judgment for next week, but so far, so good.
Totally. Oh, absolutely. I would have loved if he just explained, like, all right, five things paired, and then, you know, the last stage or two is individual. It was weird that he explained so much of it. And it seemed like there's more to it. I don't just explain everything. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It was confusing. I also thought the person eliminated after the second would be a second checkpoint. We must have heard that the same way. But again, I'll say this. They had the information they needed for this stage. Because even if you know it's going to be an individual, and maybe they did and they just didn't put it in the edit for the first part because we didn't need it, whatever. Like, you're still going to make your decisions of your teammates based on the five stages with them. The only thing that would change is like what Jemmy was saying is like, we don't know when this day is going to end. So I don't know how hard to push. I'm okay with that being left up to chance or feeling.
Yeah. And you touched on it, but I absolutely love the fact that it wasn't just randomized partners, that the people who won like the checkpoint before would get first pick. Obviously, you can't repeat picks, which I also like, but I just like that the players had some control over it, with not like full knowledge of what the task at hand was, but a little bit of knowledge. Like, you could see the bike, you can maybe see that you're about to run uphill, so you can try to infer. But I love that they had the decisions to make themselves.
Yeah, not only when you're like third pick, you're also choosing who the other teams are based on who's run with each other. I absolutely love that. To the point where I loved the first part where it was decided based on who finished when you finished. Yep. And Yes is able to say, I'm going to wait until Jenny's finished because Jemmy's finished. I want to run with her. Like, I absolutely love that element of it.
Yeah, there were a lot of different ways that players could manipulate it for fully flushing it out strategy wise, like, yeah, with the puzzle waiting out for your pair to be whoever you want to be paired with. There was stages when they both had the puzzle. I don't know if they weren't allowed to help each other, but it was weird that at some parts they weren't helping each other and other parts people were helping each other. I would have liked to see that more flushed out too.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was the Tangram you can't help because they were individuals. I think my eyes are darting. You can't see it. It's not a visual podcast. But then when they were an official team, they were able to help. But that wasn't clear to them. We're like, Alton's just like, I got to wait for her. And he's like, go help her with it.
Yeah. Because I even thought even in the first. Yeah, he was great the whole way through. I even thought, though, in the first stage, when obviously Kellyanne was going to be with Big Easy, why she couldn't like hop over to help him. But yeah, but overall, I mean, it was, you know, very well done. This part of the final.
Well, there's that weird rule that, like, if at any point someone can't finish it, you're both out. So I don't know if there's something to, like, letting them do the puzzle. Like, if someone literally can't put a bike together and you can't help, they're going to go out like that. Maybe that should have been the case. I didn't mind. I liked everything. I liked it all. Yeah. I would have been happy for it to end this episode. I thought it was going to. I was like, beautiful, simple, elegant. Nope.
Do you like the concept of points rather than time? It's obviously more transparent, but it feels like it's harder to come back from.
Interesting. Although we saw like a 2-minute lead be impossible to come back from in the main show this season.
Right.
I love the points because we can, exactly what you said, we can clearly understand who's where.
Mm-hmm.
But is it too hard? Yeah, like we know some people, like it's impossible to win. I guess maybe we only have half information and there will be a lot more points up for grabs. Or do you think this will only lead to like where you start your individual challenge?
Yeah, it could be. That could easily be it. The top, you know, get 30-second, 20-second head starts over everyone else. Or maybe when it goes to individual, it cuts to like all of a sudden you're getting 10 points. Like it goes 10-9 all the way to 1. Which in which case could kind of open things up for people to come back. But I just kind of felt like really I was actually kind of upset they put the point totals at the end of it, because I had my Excel spreadsheet. I was like calculating. I was going to be like, oh, look at me. I'm all prepared with the totals. And then they just gave away the answer key at the end. I was pissed about that. But because it really seems like there's only like a few people kind of still in the mix at this point.
I'm deceased that you just called it an answer key. That's incredible. I'm happy you were doing the work on that. The other thing I was curious about with respect to that is, did you think it was enough? Like, we talk a lot in the challenge proper about the first checkpoint finisher, the person in first place after the first day. What is the appropriate head start? It seems like the only reward was picking your team member, and then everybody sort of started out together. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I was okay with it, because really it just so happened you won the first checkpoint. Like, each checkpoint was worth the same, so you shouldn't really get so much more of an advantage by winning the first checkpoint as opposed to the third. And really you get more of an advantage because you have like more of a selection, like you haven't already been with so many people. So I was fine with that. That seemed like a pretty good reward for at least the first checkpoint.
I totally agreed. I thought this was solved. And to your point about how it being difficult to come back from, if you also got a head start and the 5 points, you're going to be almost guaranteed 5 points again. And it's going to be like we had this season where it's just like CT and Amber dominate. I loved that. I just thought it was like such a simple way to give you a legitimate reward that would be meaningful, picking your partner at which stage. And it went all the way down, you know, like 1 to 5 got that opportunity. But it did not impact time or the finish on the next one. So I thought that was great.
Yeah. So we start things off with a classic puzzle.
I was going to say, should we wade through the fluff? Should we talk about Anissa and Hassel? I'm ready to just go to the challenge, but there was some like fluffy garbage.
There was, but I was going to touch, but it really didn't amount to anything, because I thought there was going to be something that would bubble up with Anissa and Hassel in the final that wanted, like maybe Hassel would return the favor and try to screw her over because she drops on the line of like, you know, basically I forgive but don't forget, in a sense where she's like, oh, I may still have to hold her accountable, but then she's out first, so like nothing really amounted from it.
I mean, the only thing I thought, if I'm really pulling teeth, and I don't know why I didn't just let you skip it, but here I am, I'm regretting it, is we got potentially a little more information about where Nisa's head was at, like they had, and where Hasela's head was at, that they had previously agreed to put yes in, whereas I think it was like a little bit more muddy in the last episode. And Anissa says like, I needed to not go in. So I think, as we speculated, Anissa was thinking of her least, who would pick her least, who had the least chance of picking her. And we made a mistake last week. We said Tori and Anissa weren't covering the challenge. I think they did release a Challenge All-Stars podcast like for the first time. So you guys can check that out to know more about what Anissa was thinking. But I thought like we got a little bit more clarity, just a little bit, but not a ton.
Yeah, and I was glad to see it didn't seem like it really blew up their friendship. I mean, considering it seemed like this friendship did run pretty deep for such a kind of a smaller decision in the grand scheme of things, to like really mess that up would have been kind of a bummer. So I'm glad to see it seems like they're moving past it.
It was crazy though, because Hassela said like, look, this is my first challenge in 15 years. This is your career. So I thought she was going to be like, so I understand like this, there are higher stakes for you than even this money. Like, this is your career. And she goes, so like ridiculous that you'd throw your friendship away for a game. I was like, oh, she really beat and switched me there. But I respect Hisoka's spiteful energy. I can relate to it. It's not healthy, but I can relate to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The amount of people who are shadow banned from this podcast who don't even know it because of me.
The list grows.
I was talking to Puya about that today. I was like, I go to Brian. I'm like, they're never coming on again. And Brian's just like, whatever.
How about Puya? How about Puya not knowing my origins?
That was not good.
Yeah. My God, at least pretend you're not a rookie in this parts. Come on.
Is that going to be your second ever ban from this podcast?
I don't know. It might be. That shows, you know, he's he wouldn't be on a challenge wrap up all stars if he doesn't know bus driver's route.
It's a fessy move. It's a fessy move.
I didn't even watch the old seasons. I didn't even listen to the old podcasts.
Who messaged me? Maybe Akiva was like, someone in the world messaged me like, Puya didn't know bus driver's route. Sorry, Puya, we love you, but you might be shadow banned from the podcast.
It's okay. As if I have any authority to ban him when he could just ban me from everything. So
who's your do you remember your first ban? And is that person unbanned?
I believe it was Akiva, right?
It was Akiva.
Yeah, he's unbanned. He's unbanned.
Oh, well, maybe he's on my secret list. Maybe he's on my secret list. Oh, that would never stop me from going on Akiva's podcast if he were banned on mine. Anyway, as you were saying, Brian, about the challenge. Yes.
So, first checkpoint is a puzzle. TJ not so clearly lays it out that you go from a puzzle to a canoe, and then whoever is last to get to shore is eliminated. That is checkpoint one.
Should it have been after checkpoint two? Was that right, that the first checkpoint was the most important?
So, I kind of didn't understand it because like they would reset at checkpoint two.
Right.
And everyone starts in equal playing field. So I didn't even understand how that was going to play out. So this makes a lot more sense and is much cleaner, unless they were like calculating times for the first two checkpoints. But that wasn't the case. Unless it was like those 2 points through two checkpoints would be like eliminated regardless of their pair or whatever. But I mean, this is just a much easier way to do it. It makes more sense.
Agreed. This is the only way to do it where it's just like visually makes sense. Like the last person, you know, they're gone, except I didn't know they were gone because I misunderstood the instructions at the beginning. Yeah. But I imagine someone watching it felt higher stakes about the canoe race. So I think that's effective from like a fairness perspective, and nothing's ever fair. I would have liked it to be like, if I were a player, I would have liked it to be the two lowest scores, male and female, go out after the second one, just to, in case you get a bad partner. I don't really feel like that's what happened with Derek and Hisela. It seems like they both were the two worst people to canoe with. It wasn't like one person really held them back, and they got a middling start. So it wasn't like they finished after a puzzle. I do want to just take a step back with the way that this is an individual winner again. The way the point system works and the way this worked, I was just like, I'm begging for this to be a man and a woman winner. I just don't understand why we can't have that sort of satisfying best of each gender winner.
Totally agree. I'm begging for it to be top three, top two. Like, it doesn't need, like, it just doesn't add more stakes to it. I think, if anything, it takes away stakes from it, that it's just one winner. Because, again, like I said, right, there's only like three or four people now that can win, where, you know, if it was top two of each gender, all of a sudden you have a few good battles between who might win, who might be second, all that stuff. And you just like spread the $500,000 out amongst four people. Like, it's not that serious that you have to make this like this big of a prize pool.
I mean, we saw it with even with Leroy and Corey, like the fight for second place. Like, if there was no money for second place in the final this season, we have no show because first place was decided.
Yeah. I mean, you would think with this point total, we'll probably have like a showdown for who's going to win, but make it like multiple showdowns. Like right now, because like right now it would be, you know, Yes and Darrell and Johnny and Jemmy battling for the top wins, which for the girls would be great. Like, how cool is that, that Johnny and Jemmy are battling out potentially for the win? But now, I mean, Yes has a pretty good lead and Darrell is right behind. So I think one of them has to still be with the other one. So you can't even make up points that way when you're paired with that person. So it's kind of a just, that's the one bummer.
Well, that's what's interesting is like when I first heard this was the format without watching it, I was like, I kind of thought a girl would win because, no disrespect to my ladies, I think there were more sort of like clunker partners overall for the women. And so I thought Kellyanne is going to be the number one woman, and then she's going to be with four quick guys, finish first with all of them, and then do one sort of lag with Easy. Sorry. This is what I thought. I was totally wrong, and that's the fun of it. But I also was like, are the guys going to be in a position to sabo Kellyanne? Like, if you have a sizable lead and you're with Kellyanne and she's winning, in this case, it would have been John A. Are you giving your all there? Are you slowing? We even see on the running leg, I forget now who John A was with, but Yes was like, oh, we could go slow, like, no hurries. And I'm like, is that because Yes is nice, or is that because John A was in the lead? I think because he's nice.
Yeah,
but
the only downside is like, yeah, you're slowing her down, but you're getting the same points as her. So you could bring her back to the pack, but you're not catching up to her in any way.
Right. But if you, obviously I'm not the math person, you're the one with the Excel, but I was like, if you can bring her to a four and you get a four and then you get a five in the next one, could that, like, you can sort of, right, you're sabotaging yourself by sabotaging your partner, but depending on the way the points work out and how many rounds are left and who her partner is going to be in the next one, it could maybe, it would be a risk, but it might make sense. Yeah, I don't think we saw that here, but I was hoping we would see that.
You could be sabotaging like her pick as a partner, really, as the most of it. Like, you're guaranteeing you get the same points, and then maybe your pick would be worse. But yeah, we didn't see that, so I mean, that didn't make its way through.
Not yet, but no, it didn't.
Not yet. The one thing I want to say about the canoeing, well, not the one thing, but one of the things is it was just absolutely beautiful. Like, the aesthetic of them, like, that water looked gorgeous. The trees, it just looked like a perfect day. Like, if that wasn't like a final, that just looks like a super fun, like, fall, spring day thing to do.
Well, I love that. Was it Alton on the bike who was like, this is so beautiful, and like actually appreciating the moment they were in? I love when we get little glimpses of that. And yeah, no, it was, it honestly looked like if you weren't tethered to someone who was like breathing down your neck, all of the activities looked like what you would do at like adult summer camp. Like Anissa says, like, glad for camp, I can canoe. To that point, what is Derek doing on this show not knowing how a canoe functions? Like, at this point, you know you're going to be in a kayak or a canoe, right?
Yeah, that's surprising that over his challenge years, they never have done something like that. Or even just in his, like, he's like a pretty adventurous person. I can't believe that's never come up. He's never gone like whitewater rafting. He's never done anything like this to do something similar.
Yeah, I was very, very surprised about Derek's performance here.
Yeah, and I guess I don't really know much about canoe, but I guess the front seat is not a seat. You're not supposed to sit there. That's supposed to be like that, the balance things that Alton sat there, and apparently that's a no-go.
Well, what I love is they capsize. I can't believe they even got back in it. That was impressive. And then they go right to the exact same seating. Like, that would have been the time to switch positions.
Yeah, you would have thought so. That, oh, like, they were saying that Alton should have been in the back, but they, yeah, when they got back on, they were same situation.
They kept it exactly the same. So
I guess at that point, they were like, let's just, you know, luckily they had a good enough lead to make up ground.
I loved when they played the Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls TLC song over it while Darrell's like, bye, as they cruise by. But
yep.
Darrell rode the line for me. I loved Darrell this episode, but he was right on the line of being an a-hole. Like, he was a little rude about Hasela in the canoe. Like, sorry, Hasela, I wouldn't want you for this. And then he kept making, like, sort of funny. Like, he got away with them because they were funny, but he was a little cocky during this episode.
Yeah, the smack talking of Hasela, I think that only plays because they are cool with each other, I think. And it's Darrell again. Like, because if that's someone else doing it to someone else, like, it's like a real jerk off move as she's being eliminated, not just like finishing last, like being eliminated, and you're just like, bye bye, see you later. But because because Darrell is so likable, it could play.
Yellow card on this episode for Darrell, but still love him.
Well, and the pepper was the karma, I guess, for him. So
medic, I'm nervous about him, actually, and I'm gonna sound like a jerk.
I
just want to be clear. I'm going to put this out into the universe in case anybody is out there listening. I would pay unlimited money to kayak with Jemmy on the bayou with a gallon of daiquiris in the canoe. I cannot tell you.
She should like sell that as like a bachelorette activity. She would make millions of dollars to have bachelorette crews come with her and just kayak on the bayou.
Take my money, please.
Yes.
I got to get engaged before I can go on the bayou with her. I don't want that.
Oh, it doesn't have to be for just friends. It could just be a friend crew. It could just be any crew.
Me and Jemmy in a 2-person kayak with a gallon of daiquiris between us.
Sounds like a match me if you can date.
Yeah, except nothing about that's unexpected.
No, it's not. Well, unless it was all filled with Pepsi mangoes instead of daiquiris.
That is unexpected. And from what we hear, no, we're not interested. Have you gotten your hands on a Pepsi mango?
No, after the reviews I've gotten, now I'm like avoiding them if I see them, which I still really have, but I also stopped looking for them.
I have a funny story from Kyle Picard, of course, but we'll wait until we get to match it if you can for that.
Yeah, that's the main event. We can't give that away just yet.
Oh my god. Okay. we cannot go on without talking about TJ coming through on the speedboat. I let out an audible "Oh, sir," as he went by.
Yep.
To no one.
Yep, the little hand motion in the boat. I'm surprised TJ should have just been in the kayak. Like, come on. You probably love that stuff too. Just get in there.
What would he be doing in a kayak unless it's being toted by an invisible thread of somebody else pulling it that's off camera? He's putting that boat into gear. Is that a thing? Like zooming through, so. Like Captain Sandy. I loved it.
Yeah. I was, as I said, very nervous for my girl Kellyanne. I thought I put the big time kibosh on her, making her my winner pick. And here she is, like very close. So just being cut immediately.
That was rough. But on the flip side, I do think, like, what do you think of the strategy of getting your worst partner, sorry, Easy, out of the way early versus John A and Jemmy, who are, right, they both still have Easy?
I think so. Or one of them just had Easy.
Yeah.
Or he's about the...
Like, Ruthie picked Easy kind of early on, which I thought was an interesting strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense if you don't really know what's ahead, like all the different tests, you would think kayaking is not the worst thing for him. Like, I know he's like a heavier guy, but like, he's still pretty strong to kayak and stuff. You would have thought this would be a good spot for him to be in. Although he's been pretty good with puzzles. So if you know, like, I know they start with a puzzle, but something that would lead to a puzzle, you would think would be pretty good to be with him. So it seems like the pepper portion seems like his best spot.
Well, that's what's interesting about this. It's almost like every single leg had something mental, something physical. I mean, not every single one. So in that way, maybe it takes the pressure off of who you're with. But I think Ruthie was the only person to pick Easy as opposed to having a default to Easy. Interesting one to pick him when you're looking at a bike. I don't know if she thought, like, I'm not going to be good at this one. Like, I think Anissa ended up with him on the right leg, just the sprint one, which is like, maybe this isn't my strongest leg and I'm going to come in last regardless. So I'll take the one point now.
Yep. Yeah. I think that worked well for Anissa because, she was not going to do, but maybe Anissa almost needed someone to like push her more. And Big Easy was like, yeah, let's take it slow. We're good. I'll go. Let's go your pace. And meanwhile, that is very clearly his pace too. So maybe Anissa kind of needed someone to give her that extra push on that stage.
And it does, with the points, it does take away, like, really the pressure. If you're like, I'm already in last place, I might as well continue. I mean, I guess we don't know if there would have been a timeout, because they did say if you don't finish, you're out.
Right.
But it didn't come to that. So, like, at that point, it's like, I might as well choose this to recover and hope I can come back.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be very interested to see how this point system plays out. Like, if anyone who had, like, a bottom 4 or 5 spot can win, or is that really just, like, you know, you miss out on like 3 or 4 extra points. Is that just like a death sentence for you? So I'm very curious to see how this whole thing plays out. If this is like a reusable format or if it needs to be tweaked a little bit.
We will see. I liked the bike one. I thought, again, that was interesting. Like the putting it together. And then you see like Mark skateboarding on the bike. Very impressive. Like, can't take that away from him.
Yeah. Very smart. A couple people smartly. I kind of wish more came into play, like brought the tools with them. And other people didn't. I guess it sort of did. Like, some people's bikes were screwed up and other people had the tools, but I almost wish that even more came into play. Like, it's clearly showing someone's bike being saved, like, not having a tool, or someone having to run all the way back down to get a tool. But that was smart by some people.
Yeah, I thought that was going to matter more when we got the clip of like Darrell saying like, I'll take this with me. And I almost thought that was against the rules. Like, I wasn't sure. I was like, why are we seeing this? And then it didn't really matter.
Yep. Yeah. That's still very smart.
Very smart. Don't sleep on Darrell and Jemmy. That's experience there, like current relevant experience.
Absolutely.
Easy, I thought, very rude to Ruthie. Like, Darrell, I'm giving him a yellow card. Easy, I'm giving a red card. I thought he was one of the worst partners to have morale-wise.
Yeah, because, I mean, for him, he wasn't, like, he was just going into this, not even expecting to win. Like, I know he probably wasn't going to win, but he was just like, I'm going to finish. I'm not going to quit. And, like, I'm sure that's a realistic expectation for him, but, like, as a partner, that's probably not the best, especially for someone like Ruthie, who probably would have had higher expectations.
Like, I get it from Easy's perspective. Like, he's definitely overcompensating. Like, we see that in all of his, like, celebration, the way he talks, the way he pumps himself up. Like, you got to be high on yourself. I respect it. But I think that comes at, like, a cost where he's horrible to work with. Who did you think from the women would, like, seemed like the best partner to have overall?
Everyone actually seemed pretty good, honestly. I don't think there was even, I mean, everyone seemed pretty easy to work with. I didn't notice anyone that was, like, so extraordinary. I mean, Kellyanne, I think, is just, like, the best physically, so just in that sense, she would be a good partner. But, I mean, John A. was good, Jemmy was good. I think all of them, not to, like, be super nice and, you know, not give a good answer, but I thought all of them were pretty good.
Yeah, I stand Jemmy here, but I think she's the most well-rounded. But we'll see. Time will tell. Yeah. From the guys, I thought, yes, and Alton both really stood out as, like, incredible partners. And we've seen a lot of shitty male partners on the challenge. Yep. We've seen shitty female partners too. Like, we've got to mention Laurel here. But we've seen a lot of shitty male partners in the challenge. So it was, like, really refreshing to see, you know, people, like, who haven't played it a long time, who knows what their attitude might be. And they were just, like, really awesome. Like, it seemed like I would be tethered to Yes on a bike. I'd be happy to be tethered to him on a bike.
Yep. They were both great. I thought Mark was even good. We saw some questionable spots with him with Kendall going into that elimination, how he would handle being with her as a partner. But I thought every stage here, he was pretty good, too.
True that. All right. The Math Star puzzle, I thought, for checkpoint 3 was a great twist. If you want to involve math, we could see it coming together because of the puzzle. It wasn't an equation. I'm in.
Yep. Love visually appealing puzzles, difficult puzzles, but not, like, super difficult. It was a very good blend of and everything. And like you said, I love that every stage had two parts. Like, it wasn't just this. Like, there was something leading up to it. There was all these different layers in each stage.
If you'll so indulge me, I'd like to get disgusting for a moment.
Oh, boy.
On the sprint, when Darrell says, like, I'm picking Ruthie, I could carry your ass. And Darrell fireman carries Ruthie over his shoulder and takes off running, passes Mark and John A, makes a joke. A hotter person I have never seen.
what would be more attractive, that or Kenny carrying Wes? What is the more visually appealing?
There's nothing appealing about Kenny. Darrell, okay. All damn day long.
That was good. Seemed like maybe not the best move, because then all of a sudden things started to fight back in his stomach. But other than that, it was, well, you know, that worked out.
That was pre-Pepper, though. Like,
pre-Pepper?
Yeah, he single-handedly got them into second place as a result. I think so. As a result of that. Because then the next checkpoint was the eating. Although I have them with 4 points. I was like, I have them in 4. That's points, not place. So yeah, he ran her past Alton and Jemmy, then put her down, and then they got second place.
Yes. And also, like, what was good about this not being such a physically, like, it was physically demanding, but that it wasn't so long, was you did have people passing each other, where normally, like, these things are, you know, 20-mile runs or whatever. Like, you're not going to have as many, like, oh, this person went from fourth to third. Like, there was the place moving throughout each stage, which, again, played very well.
I totally agree with that. It was very exciting, not especially as compared to the final we had this season. And again, that wasn't their fault, but it was just not, no one had a hugely dominating performance each round or anything like that. So for the gross food, the 4 Carolina Reapers, the Reapers are back. Do you prefer the chili peppers or do you prefer the testicles? Not to eat as a viewer.
I think this is, I mean, so for what would I prefer as a viewer to watch them eat? I think this place, because we've seen the other one so many times. And I also like them doing callbacks to this final. Like, they had the puzzle that they did previously. They had the pepper that TJ sprung on them previously. I like symmetry. So I like the idea of callbacks to earlier in the season.
So It's hard. I was happy to not have like such a vile experience, right? Like, yes, they were throwing up, but it's not the same as drinking blood and throwing that up, or drinking green moon juice or whatever it is. But there's something about when you eat the gross food, you eat it and you're done. I mean, I know we had that, like, Cara had some, like, we've had issues in the past where people like had to drink a bunch of like milk and shit, and that's like affected them. But generally, yep, you eat the gross food and you move on. Part of me doesn't know how I feel about eating. So I'd much rather watch them eat the chili pepper, but like the way it affects your body throughout the rest of the God knows how long, it's like, is that too much of a penalty? Mm-hmm. To just like, can you, like, it's not just mental, okay, I can eat the testicle. It's like, I can eat the pepper, and then it's up to my body. I have no choice here.
Yeah. Yeah, because it did seem like there was a large degree of reactions. Like, Big Easy, maybe he just does this, like, regularly, so his body is just used to it, but it seemed like, you know, he just had, like, a hot wing, and he was fine. And then you have Darrell calling, you know, for the hospital, like, he's going to have his, you know, intestines ripped out. So, yeah, that's not, like, a mind over matter. That's, like, your body being like, no, you're done here.
But I did not miss the, like, you know, red or green vomtage.
Yes. That was, I was okay missing out on that. And it is nice to just mix it up.
All right. So we'll see how they mix it up next week. But we're pretty high on this. We have some questions from listeners. Thank you, listeners. Oh, we do have a review of Pepsi Mango. I'll read that in a smidge.
Oh, fantastic.
Let's see. I didn't notice this. Philber says, did you notice there was someone besides Alton helping Anissa back to her boat? How do we feel about that? Back into her boat. So interesting. I didn't watch this that closely. It did seem like it was like impossible for them to get back in. And then they were just in the boat. If they got, we're not saying they did, but if they got side assistance, how does that make you feel?
So like the challenge, I feel like we haven't talked about the challenge safety crew in a while. That was like a big thing on our podcast. And that, I don't think that came up recently, but I think I'm okay with it. I mean, what are they gonna do, just let them like float there and drown? I mean, maybe like they should have, you know, carried them to this, like, to the side shore and had them relaunch or something. But I mean, what would they just have them float there? Like, come on.
I'm fine with it completely. I think whatever they would do for them, they would do for any other team if they needed it. Like, I don't think it would have helped. It's not like if Derek and Hisela capsized to get assistance, it wouldn't be like, okay, and now we're going to push you in the right direction. Like, all you would do is, and they definitely suffered a penalty. It seems like they were in the water for a long time. So I'm fine with that. We got to move the show along.
Yeah, I'm sure it took them time for the crew to get over there. Like, I don't know how long the process is to carry someone to a boat, but it's obviously a penalty.
Oh, we did talk about this. Sorry, Jeremy Hamilton. Is it better to pick stronger partners early to try to build up a point lead, or does it make more sense to get weaker partners out of the way before they're gassed out? I think I would rather have, and we sort of talked about this with Ruthie, I would rather have the worst partners, quote, first. Now, because I would, like, want my best chance at the end. Like, Anissa is saying, like, I have two of the best competitors ready to go. I've gotten sort of my worst out of the way, and now I really have a chance here. The only other thing about it, though, is depending on, I think the decisions would have been made regardless, but if you're sat, like, it didn't matter to Kellyanne, but if you're saddled with a bad partner in the beginning, and then the good people are looking at that and factoring that into when they pick you, maybe that hurts you if you're like in the last place, but I would rather get my worst over with.
Yeah, I'm torn because I think, I mean, it makes sense to choose like the worst early, especially the people that you think are going to get tired more through the day. So like, if you think Darrell's like stamina is good, that he'll still be really good on stage 4 or 5, then it's probably better to have him. And like Big Easy's, you know, he's going to be the worst, but if he's the best when he's freshest, it probably makes sense to have him early. But I just think it's so good to just bank your lead early and just, you know, let someone else make a mistake because you don't know who's going to be your competition. So you might as well, let's just, you know, like for Jeanne, like banking, like she first right out the gate. Now she's in it till the end, no matter what, where Kellyanne really has to be perfect from here on out.
That's how I get motivated though. I would rather have a comeback than a fall from grace, but that's just how I live. Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be the underdog.
Don't call it a comeback. Okie dokes. And then Oh, this is really funny. Van C says, Darrell mentioned he knew how to take off bike tires because he'd done it while taking his family camping. Do we think Darrell bought his camper?
Well, I don't know. He never won the money when he said he wanted to, so I don't know if he was able to. Maybe he'll do it with if he wins his 500K.
Talk about a callback. That wasn't this season. That was the last time Darrell was on, right?
That was a long time ago.
That was what Darrell wanted to buy with the money. He never was, you know, maybe he did get that camper after all.
Yeah, maybe with his appearance fee, he was able to go get it.
All right. Are you ready to say goodbye to the commercial that is Match Me If You Can?
I am. What a finale. The drama.
I won, and ooh. So your head is shaved now, correct?
Yes, that is the rules. That is the stakes of Match Me If You Can.
I took the over. We got a 22-minute, 48-second episode. Mm-hmm. Definitely the best episode of the season, the closest to an actual television show of the season.
Yeah, I even found myself saying at the end, like, if they put more thought with a good cast and all this, like, it's not the worst idea for a show. Like, it could work, but it probably wouldn't.
I mean, it totally would work. Like Bachelor in Paradise and Bachelor Pad do that with just their universe. And then, like, you know, before the whole Megan Wants a Millionaire scandal, VH1 was like mining their people. And that's sort of what the challenge has become, right? Is just like the reality TV hotspot. So I would love to watch, like, when I thought this was a show in earnest, like, actually, I never thought that because I read the press release. But in theory, I think having 8 sexy single reality stars like in a house together going on dates like The Bachelor, but for reality TV people, like, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it was fun seeing the connections. Harry was
I guess that's Ex on the Beach, but yeah. I said it.
Harry spilling multiple drinks on his date was not great, but was entertaining. Got the self swipe, I enjoyed that.
Jumping right through it. It's interesting because so like the new pay. So for anyone who's not watching this on YouTube, they took the 8 daters from their 4 dates and repaired them with Kylie from Are You the One, with Natalie from Big Brother in the Challenge, Harry with Kira, Harry from Too Hot to Handle, with Kira from Love Island US, Ashley from The Challenge, with Joey from The Circle, LOL, and Eric from The Bachelor, and Onyeka from The Bachelor. It was interesting to me because I'm surprised Kira and Harry didn't work a little bit, because Harry looks a lot like Cashel from season 1. I don't know if you watched Love Island season 1 with Kira, who ended up with Kira, no. Spoiler alert. But he was not making a love connection on their mixology date. This killed me. So Kyle Picard messaged me. He obviously watches it as soon as it drops, and I haven't watched it yet. Yep. And he goes,
"This notification.
This will make a lot more sense when you watch it, but I made a cocktail with Pepsi Mango and Fireball, God. And it like wasn't terrible, wasn't good, like something like that. Then I watched that this is about making cocktails with Pepsi Mango, and I was like, oh my God, it was you like coincidentally made a cocktail with the Pepsi Mango and then sat down and watched this episode. And he was like, do you think I got up during the 20 minutes to make the cocktail? Yes, it was coincidental. And I said, you don't want me to answer that, Kyle. You don't want to know what I think about that.
I mean, he easily could have paused. Like, YouTube has a pause button.
How is that for a drink? Fireball, and I'm a fan of Fireball. Fireball and Pepsi Mango. Mm. There's an unexpected combination.
Yeah, put that in a fun cocktail list and slip it in, see how it sells. I don't know. It doesn't sound too awful. Probably could be worse.
Putting the Bacardi. Anything
probably makes it a little bit better.
Putting the party in Kyle Bacardi. I just couldn't get over that. Are you a good cocktail maker? Do you fancy yourself a good bartender?
If it's two things, yes. I can mix a soda and an alcohol. Once we start getting with like the simple syrups and stuff, I've done a couple classes and I'm able to mimic the instructor, but out of my own, it is a no go.
I have no ability to make cocktails. Yeah, I can make myself a vodka soda, whatever, gin and tonic. I could squeeze lime in, but like tried to make for one of my like Oscar parties for new listeners or people don't follow me on Twitter back in the day when there used to be socialization. I would have like themed drinks, and I made Roma from when it was Roma's Oscar year. And I made some like rum lime cocktail and it was so terrible. Like I was like, I don't understand what could be bad. And then my friend Drew is very good at making cocktails and he was like, oh, you have to add sugar. And I was like, what? And it was like, it saved it, the whole thing. So I have no cocktail ability. I would have been like Harry spilling drinks all over the lovely Kira.
Yeah, I wish I could. Like I did a cocktail making, like I made like an old fashioned when I was down in Louisville. Like I wanted to like remember those skills to bring it home. But like, I just can't.
We don't have them.
I just don't have that in me.
Can't have everything, you know?
Nope. Can't do it.
But the most interesting thing that happens, right, is Kira goes and pulls the robbery on Kylie's date with Natalie. And they declare their love for each other. It's kind of rude. And then Kylie has the most real moment on the show in the 5 episodes we've had.
Has the most real moment?
Like, the realest moment where she, like, is crying about feeling insecure and how that hurt her and calls it out. Like, to me, everything else has been sort of very surface and like, yeah, I like you. Mwah. Like, we're here, like the Pepsi mango. But this seemed like it was coming from a real place to me.
Yeah, it probably can't feel good when you're on, even as like there's a goofy dating show, to feel like, oh, like maybe this person's kind of cool and just have someone like come in and swoop in and like kind of embarrass you a little bit. So probably can't feel great. Especially when your date didn't go super, super well. I know that they're best friends for life and they would die for each other after 20 minutes, but still not the best feeling.
Well, talk about not the best feeling. The mechanism they had for choosing the perfect match, where if anyone didn't watch, like one person comes in, swipes up or down and who they want of the two dates they had. Then no one ended up with their second date because that was a public 15-second date as opposed to like their one-on-one. But then the person they chose comes in and they determine whether or not it's a match. The only person who gets rejected is Harry, as Brian mentioned. Onyeka does a self-swipe, which we did not think was an option.
No. And not to call into question the production crew on Match Me If You Can, but how on earth was Natalie the first swipe in that pair? When she was like the one stuck in a theoretical love triangle, why wouldn't Kira swipe first? And then Natalie comes in and reveals, like, is she gonna reciprocate or is she not? Like, it was obvious Kira was. How did that? Why was Natalie the first swipe?
Agreed. Totally agree. Because I was even kind of confused why Kylie wasn't the swipe and then Natalie came in and it wasn't a match and then Kira comes in, it's a match.
Right.
That would have been too mean. But then we got the most unexpected match of the night. Talk about unexpected things working. Joey and Kylie, who had declared themselves best friends forever, decide to take a chance on love, swiped on each other and kissed immediately, and then took a full leather outfit into the pool.
Yeah, seems like best friends. You know, Joey obviously would die for her, obviously that's well known, and jumping into the nether, going off to the sunset.
I did like it, though. Like, for however produced it was, I found myself enjoying this episode.
Do you think any of these people had done anything remotely to pursue a longer-term relationship after this?
I'm so happy. Did you preview the questions this week?
Of course not.
Did you actually?
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I come in fresh.
Okay. Sometimes you waver. You're like, I'd like to be able to see the questions. But then
that was only on the Facebook group because that was when I get the notifications and I'm like clearing my notifications. And when I'm there, I'm like, oh, I might as well just read.
I believe I gave you access for this. All right. Kyle says,
I have access, but I don't get notifications on my phone. If I got notifications every time someone posted a question, yes, I would probably read the questions.
Okay. Kyle said, do you think any of these couples are still together? Actually, never mind. Who cares? When's Brian's Rahapgram's takeover? Will he shave his head during it?
Well, that's obviously not happening. The Rahapgram's, I don't know, at some point I have to try to think of things to make sure his mind's more entertaining than yours, which is impossible, so that means I'll never
extremely
do it.
Low bar. That's the bar is the floor. Do I think anyone's together? Absolutely not. Akira did some Instagram thing that was like, the ball's in Natalie's court if she wants to go out again, but you know, hot people can have chemistry with each other, even on a show. I don't know that anybody's a real match from this.
What a trio of people for Natalie's like reality TV dating life, between who was the guy on Big Brother? The prankster?
James.
Whoever James. You got James, Bananas, and Kira. I mean, that's gotta be the only thing that those three people have in common, other than like just being human beings.
Oh, yeah. Fair. Having been on television, but otherwise.
Yeah. Other than that.
Kyle wants to know, do you want any of these people on the challenge?
Well, Natalie's already been there, so check mark there.
Ashley, yeah, also. Sure.
Obviously, Ashley is a personal challenge. Sorry about Million Dollar Mitchell. Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Joey could be good. Harry could be good. They all could be good. They're all reality people. Yeah.
I don't want to see Joey on the show. I love Joey, but like, I also just died that you said Million Dollar Mitchell, like Million Dollar Baby. But all right, Kyle, we'll close out with Kyle. A lot of people on Twitter, Jeremy Hamilton wrote to us that he tried Pepsi Mango. A lot of people wrote that they tried Pepsi Mango. Kyle said, final thought, as dumb as this was, it got me to buy Pepsi Mango. So I guess it worked.
There you go. Better than spending, what, $50 million on whatever it is on a Super Bowl commercial. Just do, five 20-minute YouTube shows. Can't cost that much. And there you go. There's your ads.
I imagine buying out 2/3 of the commercials of the challenge finale. I hope for our sake of enjoying the challenge for a long time to come that costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But
you would think so.
That's it, though. 50 minutes in and out.
Boom, boom. What a show.
I think we're done here.
I can reveal. So now I can reveal.
Oh, I forgot. We're not done. We've got more crap.
Yeah, we got more segments. I could say, since I wanted to tease it here, can't give the milk away for free, as I've been taught, that Free Agents is my new number one ranked season in my rewatch, surpassing Rivals. It was incredible. Held up tenfold on the rewatch. I can't recommend it more. Please go watch it.
Which I feel great about, because I feel like we've been saying that since we started Free Agents. Yep. Consistently for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it reached a point where I just always said that that was like my reflex answer. And I kind of lost like faith in it. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. Like I felt this way 5 years ago, but I don't know if I still do. I hope it's still good. But now I could re-put my stamp in it. It was, the cast was great. The format, it was so good. Like, there were some tweaks they could have done, but the draw was so fun. Other than, like, yeah, the last elimination being like a stupid round of puzzles, but other than that, it was basically a perfect season.
All right, you heard it here first.
There you go.
What's next? I don't even remember. You going in
order?
I
just started Battle of the X's 2.
I can't believe we did a Battle of the X's podcast. I have no recollection of it.
I know. Well, it was sad. This was
DM.
Right when, DM and Knight. Mm. Right, so after the premiere, there was the, RIP.
Yes, I do.
Very
remember
sad.
This.
Very sad. I honestly, when the season started, I was like, I don't even remember who wins. And then I kind of recalled in my head as I was watching. But there you go. Battle of the X's 2 is next on the docket.
Podcasters who don't recall who won seasons past. That's us.
Yep. This is when Are You the One started. I don't know if you saw, but there was this guy from Are You the One that I cannot believe.
Jacob, JJ, interviewed him. Me and Adam interviewed him, and it was the worst, most inappropriate interview of all time.
I had Sam take it down. I cannot believe this guy was in the challenge world. It's stunning. Stunning.
You also heard that here first.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll be gone very soon. He at least survived the first two episodes. I don't remember what he goes, but it better
he's
be
with Simone, right? He's
TV.
Like Simone's ex.
Yeah, this is them two were on, and this was Adam and Brittany when they broke down the Are You the One wall.
Oh shit, we have to follow up with speaking of Brittany, but I will do that another time. That's a teaser for
who knows
draft.
What that could mean. No one even knows what Brittany we're talking about.
Spoiler alert. Let's assess the Muscles draft for a second. I think, win or lose, 6 months from now when we find out the result, I think we absolutely walloped them in the draft.
I think so. But I also have no idea who any of these rookies are. So like the two people I pick first could easily be like the best women there, and then
sure,
be bad shape.
We didn't know the pairing, we don't know the format, but just like if Vegas was putting odds on it, I think it would be 20 to 1.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how odds work?
That would be, if you bet $100, you could win $2,000.
That sounds right. For them, it would be them. It'd be a bad bet for them.
Yeah. I didn't appreciate your slander of my Mikayla pick. I thought it was sound.
Well, now you're spoiling the entire podcast.
Well, it's just I wanted just to air it out here.
Believe me, the listeners will not be kind to you. History will side with me.
We'll see. There you go. What a 4 month tease, 3.5 month tease. Look out for it in late August, early September. Right when the challenge, right when Survivor comes back. So
I don't know. Malagory is saying that he's going to post it. We don't know anything, but we do. You know, we don't have to know that, but we have to get the hell out of here.
We'll be back. You can subscribe. robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with I _, not Brian Scally. You can follow you
at Brian Scally. I've made that joke before at Lash Tweets.
And we had, the aforementioned Matt Lagori on I can't wait to say wait, you have the aforementioned Matt Lagori.
That was my favorite.
On New Girl Old Guy.
Yeah, we had Matt on. It was very fun. I really enjoyed this episode. Check it out, anchor.fm/newgirlOldGuy. Brian, in the off season we'll have to have you back on again.
Well, we should time it. Didn't we time it pretty well for the start of this season? So maybe we'll time it for the start of next season. Synergy.
Yeah, but maybe when you're just getting sort of like an itch, you know, that itchy when you're like appreciating that the podcast season's over, but then you're like, maybe I have stuff to say.
Right.
You let me know if should strike you. You don't feel that way?
I guess so. I probably will.
Deep. Yeah, it goes deep in. It's like usually like 3 weeks before that season ends up starting.
Well, it's going to be weird. We've had a, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour chats every week for the last like 5 months. It's going to be gone.
We'll be all right.
How meaningful. So heartfelt.
Well, we still have to do our 7 year stretch.
Yes, we do.
Seventh inning stretch.
There you go. All right. We'll be back next week.
Can't believe it.
Finale of Challenge All Stars.
I'll believe it when I see it. Sorry.
I think it's over. Pretty sure it's over. Maybe we might be back the week after also for a potential reunion. So TBD. Until then, have a good one.